Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What is going on, everyone, and welcome back to the channel. I hope you're all doing well. Now, today I've got for you some entitled parent stories. That's right, my favorite subreddit of all time, but I haven't looked at it in a long time, and I do apologize. I'm really sorry. It's the subreddit that built this channel, so I feel bad. It's been a couple of weeks, but don't worry, we are back. I've got three truly mental stories for you today, involving, as always, mental entitled parents. If you're excited for this, drop a like on it. Subscribe if you're new to the channel. Let's go. My father demands an apology after 10 years of no contact. When I was 11 years old, my parents divorced. My father cheated a lot, and my mother forgave him every time because she wanted to keep the family together. But then when I was 11, my father cheated again and ran off with this woman. What followed was a huge divorce with a lot of fighting and arguing. The only thing my father didn't want was us as children. It was decided that I had to go to my father at the weekends. Because where I live, divorces go through the courts, and they think it's important that children continue to see both their parents. During these weekends, I was used more as a kind of Cinderella by my father and his girlfriend, and I was systematically abused mentally and physically. Every time I made a mistake in their eyes, didn't do something the way they wanted, didn't get things done on time because I had a lot to do, I was beaten with objects or just by hand. My father's favorite thing was his belt, and my stepmother liked to use an electric fly swatter, which gives off electric shocks when you turn it on so that you can kill the fly without crushing it, so to speak. If you hold it against your skin with the metal part, you'll get a pretty hard electric shock. To this day, I'm terrified of electric fly swatters, even though where I live, they are very common household things. I managed to hide the abuse for years by wearing baggy clothes with long sleeves, whether it was summer or winter. Because of this, I quickly became the weird kid at school and had no friends. The abuse had enormous mental consequences, but I wanted to persevere because I was afraid that if I stopped coming on weekends, my father's girlfriend would work out her anger on my little sister. She was only 5 when my parents broke up. I withdrew more and more to my room when I was with my mother so that I didn't have to talk to her. My mother is a sweetheart. She's really sweet and friendly and only wanted the best for me. She thought I was having trouble with the divorce and that I was starting to go through puberty. She regularly suggested that I go to a therapist, but I always didn't want to because I wanted to protect my sister. When I was 16, my gym teacher found out about the bruises because I suffered an injury during sports class and she had to look at my legs. As a result, Child Protection was immediately called to see that I was covered in them. My mother was so shocked that she kept me and my sister at home from that moment on. The judge decided that the contact arrangements were terminated and that we as children no longer had to visit my father. My father has always blamed me for the fact that he no longer sees his children. He called me a bad daughter and said that I should never have told anyone what happened in our home. He felt that it was no one's business and that it was good parenting, that it would make me hard and grow up to be a strong woman who could serve her husband in this way, that if I behaved better and did what I was told, I wouldn't have to be beaten. 10 years have passed since then. Because of what happened and the fact that we lived in a small village, everyone knows what occurred and what he and his now wife did to me. I moved far away from them and cut off all contact. I went to therapy to learn to deal with everything. I have a very sweet partner who supports me and also helps me to overcome my fears that I developed because of my father. I regularly have panic attacks at home and I'm afraid of being home alone. We bought a video doorbell so I can see who is at the door without having to go to it because I'm afraid that he'll find out my address and come to see me. He's already tried to find out my address a few times through my sister since she has been in contact with him again for a few years. Her reasoning was that they've not done anything to her and they were always kind to her, so she sees no reason not to visit regularly. That is interesting. Recently, I received a letter from my father through my sister in which he demanded that I apologize for my behavior and that because of me, the entire village thinks he is a disgrace. Yeah, I wonder why. In the letter, he said that he is getting older and his hearing and vision are getting worse. He demands that I apologize to him and that I introduce him to my partner, who really doesn't want that because he knows my entire history. He thinks he's been a good father and that being raised by my mother has made me soft and that I am now a bad woman because I'm pursuing a career outside the home in biology. My sister tells me that I should just say sorry and that he will really leave me alone afterwards. He really just wants to hear that he was a good father and that I regret talking to people 10 years ago when they saw my bruises. But I really don't want to. But my sister and father's family keep pestering me to say that I should just do it so that he can close it off and the village will no longer find him a shame. I really don't want to, and I haven't slept at night because of it. I don't know what to do anymore, and my partner tries to keep me calm so I don't have to think about it anymore because it gives me panic attacks. But my father and his family keep insisting and nagging me to do it by sending me messages on social media and calling or WhatsApping me. I keep blocking them, but they create new throwaway accounts to reach me or give letters and messages to my sister so that she can give them to me. I didn't tell my mother about this because she already feels very guilty that she didn't notice the abuse for all those years. So, what do you think? Should I just apologize to get it over with? Absolutely not. Why would you ever apologize? I mean, this is such a sad story. You can't ever even think about apologizing. And to be honest, I think it's very tragic that OP is even considering it, and it shows to me that the level of abuse that he suffered throughout his entire life. I mean, we know what physical effects it had, but mentally, the fact that you're in this situation and you're still even considering apologizing to your dad just shows the torture, the mental torture that you must have gone through and the impact it still has on you today. Like, if I put myself in that situation, obviously, you know, objectively, and I haven't had all the abuse that you've suffered for all those years, I just say, you know, straight off the bat, no, why would I ever apologize? Obviously, he has to apologize to me. And even then, there's nothing he can even possibly say to excuse what he did for all those years. But because you're in this situation and you've had to deal with this for so long and it's clearly had such an effect on you, you're considering apologizing. I don't know. The worst person in all of this, by the way, I mean, she's not the worst person, obviously your dad and stepmom are, but a close second slash third, your sister. What is she doing? Maybe she just doesn't understand. Maybe she was too young. But I don't know. I feel like she should be listening to you and just hearing what you did to help her all those years ago. And surely, like, if she hears about your experiences with her own dad and stepmom, she would have to side with you. But no, she's doing the opposite. I don't know. Maybe it's because she was too young to remember. Maybe it's because your dad and stepmom are extremely manipulative. Maybe it's because she is a bad person. Maybe it's a combination of all three. I'm not sure. I just feel like you've been completely left on your own here, OP. And it's a good thing that your mum is as sweet as she is. But my word, you know, three really bad people here.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now for our next entitled parent story. You called CPS because a toddler was running around naked. I was visiting with a very good friend of mine this weekend after a mutual friend's birthday party. We'd all gone, but it wasn't really a place conducive to quiet enjoyment of a friend's company. There was lots of noise and lights and sugary birthday goodies that everyone partook in, including my friend's two sons. Now, one of them isn't one yet, and the other is balls deep into the terrible twos. The answer for everything is no, even when the answer was meant to be yes. It's hilarious, mostly because I can go home. My friend and his wife, they're tired, understandably so. So we were sitting in front of the TV and minding the boys while my buddy's wife wanted some time not spent in the immediate vicinity of her offspring. Which, honestly, fair. She got drove off in her car and went I know not where, and we divided the labor equally. My friend had the kid who couldn't walk yet, and they were curled up on the couch. I think the intent was for a quiet nap. Me, well, I was stuck with the 2-year-old, and we had beef. At one point in the birthday party, I was playing skee-ball at an arcade and offered my last ball to the 2-year-old. He wound up like he was on a baseball mound, and I wound up having to go, no, 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 and intervene. He's yet to forgive me for this transgression. So, my charge for a little bit decided watching Bluey was for suckers, and he was going in search of adventure. And I was following him around, because that's what you do when someone places the welfare of their child in your hands. The whole time, he's sulking and glaring at me every time he realizes I'm still behind him. It was so hard not to laugh because it was so overblown and dramatic. So we're in the boys' room and the kid I'm watching is currently trying to cram his little body under his bed and shouting about wanting mama. Tough luck, kid. Mama's taking a break. You're stuck with me. And then there's a knock at the door. It's a caseworker from CPS and a police officer. I didn't realize this at the time as I was trying to make sure the kid's head wouldn't actually get stuck under the bed. I'd never live it down. My buddy answers the door and is rather alarmed to see the pair waiting there. Then they came in and my buddy shouted for me to come back to the living room with the kid. So I scoop up my charge and he starts squirming and squawking because he wanted to be under the bed, and clearly this is not under the bed. Matter of fact, this is the opposite. And he promptly shuts up, because strangers. The caseworker goes on to explain that they've gotten reports about toddlers being left outside in the snow with only a diaper on, being left naked to run around the house, bruises on the kids, etc, etc. For the uninitiated, most toddlers cannot stand wearing clothes. They want out of them immediately. Even the hint of a chance at ditching the clothing and they'll go for it. The cop looks around for a moment, says something to the CPS worker, and then leaves. I sit with a 2-year-old, who was clothed by the way, and my buddy does all of the talking. I can tell that he is furious, but I didn't really know why at the time. The caseworker wanders around the house a little bit, takes a look at both kids, then shrugs and says he can't see any evidence behind the report, but that everyone has to be investigated. They'll be in touch, but it won't be a home visit unless new evidence or reports come to light. After the caseworker leaves, my buddy hands me the not quite 1-year-old, takes out his phone and goes into the basement, and promptly starts screaming at the top of his lungs into the phone. The 1-year-old just went back to napping, and the 2-year-old showed some survival instincts. He just looked at me and said, "Daddy mad," and watched TV with me and his brother. My friend's mother had some sort of mental illness flare up on her out of nowhere. I don't really know the details because it's not my business, but what little I did hear about was horrific enough. Evidently, on grandma's last visit, the 2-year-old managed to escape the clutches of bath time and wound up making a beeline straight out the open front door into the snow. He realized this was a poor life choice seconds after escaping, mostly from face planting into snow after tripping, and struggled not at all to be brought back in for bath time. Why was the door open? Grandma's new boyfriend was rather drunk and attempting to bring in a pile of Christmas gifts that were arriving in late January. He fell down the stairs when he tried opening the door, so they just propped the door open to allow easier offloading. In a nutshell, stuff happens. Kids have minds of their own and do their own thing. He was never in any actual danger, just a 2-year-old doing 2-year-old things. The fact that Grandma twisted the event in such a fashion honestly confuses me, especially since the root cause of the kid getting out at all wasn't even my friend's fault. The really fed up part about the report though, the reason there was a cop there was because Grandma told CPS that her son was an alcoholic with a mean streak when he was drunk, and that he kept a gun at the door. He does keep a gun by the door, to be fair. It's a double barrel shotgun and a small safe with a keypad because he lives in the boonies and it's not unusual to see things like bears. To the best of my knowledge, the only time the gun is fired is at range, so my buddy and his wife can use the weapon competently if the need should arise. Her own son, though. Now, some parents can be difficult, right? I hold my hands up. Some grandparents can be difficult, some parents can be difficult, and, you know, not always is it a good idea to have your parent look after your child. I do feel like this is one of those occasions where maybe you don't let your mum look after your kid anymore. I do, though, have to say that there's levels to this game. Calling CPS on your own son, that is mad. I don't really understand even why she did that. Okay, sorry, she didn't call CPS, someone else did. But then, sorry, the grandma saying that her own son was an alcoholic with a mean streak is absolutely mental. That's the reason why the cop was there, of course. I don't know. Like, it's bad enough that someone calls CPS. I think, yeah, it happens, you could say, but also it's not great. I mean, a two-year-old being able to run outside on their own, it's very dangerous. As we saw with a story not long ago, you know, a kid abandoned on their own outside can have serious repercussions. But then, yeah, doubling down and saying, oh, actually, no, it's because of my son who's an alcoholic. Mad. And look, I get it. She has a mental illness. Does that excuse this? Does that allow for this? I would say no. Obviously, you need more context there. But yeah, I think the easiest thing to do is just, you know, maybe you don't cut her off, but just don't let her ever look after your kid. Now for our final entitled parent story of this episode. My bio mum's husband offered to adopt me. I'm already adopted. I am 18, non-binary. I don't remember the exact ages of my bio mum and her husband, but they're in their late 40s. I'll call them Claire and Daniel. For some background, Claire had me and my brother while she was an addict and had a lot of untreated issues. Bipolar, BPD, schizophrenia, etc. I won't go into a lot of detail because it's very heavy, but long story short, she married a bad man. And because of his and her actions, she lost custody of us when we were 5 and we eventually got adopted when we were 8. She divorced that man and is now married to Daniel. Now onto the story. Claire at the time had gotten diagnosed with a terminal illness, so I'd agreed to fly out there to visit her. I'd never gotten super close with Daniel, but we were relatively friendly. At first, the visit was okay, everyone was acting normally. But then things kind of started to go downhill. Claire asked if I would consider moving out there for the time she had left, and I said I would consider it. She seemed to be happy with that answer at first, along with Daniel, but then it started going downhill. They started acting like I was definitely moving in and started trying to make all of these decisions before I'd even decided, like wanting to go to the Social Security office to see if I still qualified for insurance, etc. It was hard for me to push back on it and set boundaries because I'm autistic and communication is hard, so I just kind of brushed it off. One night, me and Claire were having a deep conversation and Daniel joined in, which led to him offering to adopt me. I explained that I was already adopted and that I did not want to be adopted again, and he seemed to drop the issue. Over the next few days though, he started getting more authoritative, I guess. Whenever I talked about something, he would correct me, even if he was obviously wrong. It even got to the point when I was trying to bond with him and talk to him about my trans experience, he straight up said that I should try to be comfortable being a woman and that he didn't want me to get gender affirming surgery, that I needed to fully experience being a woman before I decided. I deflected from the topic but felt very uncomfortable. When I flew home and told my mum everything, she texted Claire saying that she basically needed to take a chill pill and that Daniel needed to stop inserting himself in our lives like he was a parent. The last thing I heard about the situation is that when my brother visited later, Daniel told him something basically to the effect that I was influenced easily and that's why I'm non-binary. I haven't talked to him since besides saying hi when I'm on the phone with Claire. I mean, the strange thing is that your bio mum's husband doesn't already know that you're adopted. Unless he does know and he just wants to like re-adopt you or cancel the adoption that has already happened and take over. You know, like when a manager gets sacked. Is he the new manager? Is he the caretaker manager? Is that what he wants to be? I think once again, it's been the case with multiple stories here. You just need to stay away from these entitled parents. That really is like the key thing. That is the common denominator throughout every entitled parent story ever, realistically. Just stay away from them. But yeah, I think it's much harder when they are your own family. I mean, we also have to, of course, talk about the fact that he's saying, oh yeah, don't transition, man. Well, not man, but you know what I mean. Don't transition. You need to experience what it's like to be a woman. What is that? I mean, what is that? At what age do you have full experience of being a woman? That's my question. And again, it makes me think of an episode the other day where somebody said, you're not a lesbian, you just haven't had the right D yet. It's along those sort of lines. It's crazy. Now, someone's actually commented down below that they have a creepy feeling it's not going to be adoption, but actually a relationship, especially with him not wanting you to transition. Now, I don't know about that, but then they've also said, do you have an uncanny resemblance to your bio mum? So I guess this person is saying, once your bio mum passes away, he might want to get with you and replace her with someone that has similar DNA and looks similar. If that's the case, that is mental. I wouldn't suggest that myself, but, oh, apparently actually just looking, OP has said that in the past, they've talked about their sex life to me, talked about their relationship, and when he was talking about wanting me to have the full experience of a woman, he was talking about the topic no one should be talking about with their wife's kid that they barely know. Okay, That's just, yeah, really, really creepy. I've had enough. Anyway, guys, that is going to do it for this one. Let me know your thoughts on these three stories down below. How would you react in all of them? What would you do? I want to hear what you've got to say. If you're new to the channel, make sure to subscribe. And if you want more content from me right away, check out this playlist of all my Entitled Parents episodes. I know I haven't done one in a while. I make them more regular for you OGs. Don't worry.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.